Yeah, how's it going? Excellent. It's an outstanding day. Welcome to Community Bible Church. We pray that the entire day this morning, our time here, the moment you walked in and heard the songs of worship through the announcements, the testimony time, through the sermon and the communion, that we be able to manifest and show God's presence, that you'd be able to feel the aroma of Christ in this room. That when you walk outside afterwards, we have a time of refreshment, that you feel welcome as we greet you and we get to know you more. So we really encourage you guys to stick around, just join the community. We'd be honored for that. Today, we are focusing on John 6, where Jesus feeds the 5,000 and Jesus talking about him being the bread of life. So let me focus on John 6, verses 1 through 15 and 22 to 65. And then I will invite Doug to give the sermon. Here's the reading of God's Word, John chapter 6. After this, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a large crowd was following him because they saw the signs that he was doing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. Lifting up his eyes then and seeing that a large crowd was coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat?" He said this to test them, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 2,000 denarii would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they for so many?" And Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, about 5,000 in number. So Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they had eaten their fill, he told his disciples, "Gather up the leftover fragments, that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten. When the people saw the sign that they had done, they said, "This indeed is the prophet who has come into the world." Perceiving that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself. And on to verse 22 and following. On the next day, the crowd that remained on the other side of the sea saw that there had been only one boat there, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, that his disciples had gone away alone. Other boats from Tiberias came near the place where they had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum seeking Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" And Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" And Jesus answered them, "This is the work of the God, that you believe in him who he has sent." So they said to him, "Then what sign do you do, that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" Jesus then said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall not thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me. Whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everybody who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." So the Jews grumbled about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus answered them, "Don't grumble amongst yourselves. Do not come to me unless the Father who has sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'And they will all be taught by God.' Everybody who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anybody has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that comes down from heaven. If anybody eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Jews then disputed amongst themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? And so Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not as the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. Jesus said these things in the synagogue as he taught at Capernaum. This is the word of God. The children are dismissed for junior church, and I'm going to invite Doug Duncan to give the sermon today.
Kids, I want you to be prepared to take notes today. And if you do a good job, just make three notes of anything that really means something to you. Take it back to the back where that box is, and Mrs. Duncan will be sitting there in a chair with a big canister of candy, and you can give her your notes, and she'll give you a piece of candy, okay? Joshua said he didn't get a candy bar last week. So if you didn't get a candy bar last week, but you turned in notes, you can get two today, okay? And if you need help, ask mom or dad sitting next to you or somebody else to help you write down point. The main point today that I want you to take away is this. Jesus is the source of our strength. We've just entered or finished a week of VBS. There are a lot of volunteers here for a whole week. Some of you came as early as 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the afternoon and stayed until 10 o'clock at night, every night cleaning up. And toward the end of the week, even though you were trying to keep up your spirits and enthusiasm, I could tell that you were fatigued, weren't you? It took a lot out of you because you were doing your own jobs in addition to that. Some of you have come home from camp. Camp, as you could tell, generated a lot of enthusiasm. You didn't hear the speakers, which were sort of coming afterward. There was a lot of content and substance as well as hype. But you come down off of that, and what is it for you? You feel, oh, man, I got to return home. The sort of tedious, mundane life. We need strength. Moms, every day you have to be up for your families, serving, caring. Some of you working in addition to caring for your families. You are the source of and center of your homes. Everyone depends on you for hugs, for love, for understanding, for a listening ear, for counsel, for finances, for everything. Dads, you worry about how things are going to, how you're going to make it, especially as the rising cost of fuel hits all of us. We go into winter thinking, how are we going to do this? I mean, this is not part of my budget. Where is it going to come from? We minister every day and we give using the gifts that God has given us, and we think, I'm getting burnt out. I'm stressed. I'm at the breaking point. I need a vacation. Hoping that a vacation will sort of re-energize and recharge us. And sometimes it does to an extent. But usually you come back more tired than when you left. And you really need a vacation when you get home. What's the source of our strength? Jesus is the source of our strength. And that's the main point that Jesus wanted to communicate to his disciples. Did you know that the account of the feeding of the 5,000 was more for the sake of the disciples, the few, And he only mentions Philip and Andrew here. Then it was for the 5,000 men and probably 3,000 women and children who attended that event. Jesus was teaching his disciples something very important about himself, because he wasn't going to be with them forever. He was going to be with them for 3 years, three short years, and then he was going to leave them alone. But he said, I won't leave you as orphans. I'll send you the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, who will empower you. The Spirit of Jesus will live within you. And I want you to live life beyond your means. I think one of the biggest problems among the church today is that we don't live life beyond our human limitations. We don't want to step outside of our comfort zone. We become anxious and stressed because we just can't deal with it. And what Jesus wants us to understand is you can't deal with it. You can't cope with life and everything that comes your way, but I can. And so here's these people who are following Jesus across the Sea of Tiberias or the Sea of Galilee. And they follow him up this hill. He continues to walk to this elevation. And I think he's doing this so that they can all get a view of him. It's terraced seating. Some are above and some are below. He's in the middle and all can see what he's about to do. And Jesus turns to his disciples, Philip in particular, and he says, you know, these people have been with us a long time. They're hungry. Feed them. Can you imagine feeding something like 15,000 people? Philip, it must have been thinking, are you kidding, Jesus? Another account in Matthew says, Lord, send them to the villages. It's getting late so that they can go buy themselves food. And Jesus, in that account of Matthew, says, no, you feed them. You've got to be kidding. You're asking me to do the impossible. How many of you felt like you've been asked to do the impossible? To go way beyond your means. I can't give one more ounce. There's nothing left. I cannot continue to love this person. I can't continue to forgive him for what he's done for me, to me. I can't continue to give. I just don't have anything left. I want to suggest to you that that's exactly where Christ wants you to be. And he turns to you and to me and he says, feed them. Give. Love. Forgive. Understand. Care for. Reach from your resources that I will show you and give. And so they all follow Jesus. And Philip says, you know, Jesus, we only have 200 denarii. And that's only about 2/3 of a year's wages. That wouldn't even be enough to buy just a little for all these people who have gathered. Andrew says, well, I found a little boy with a couple fish. So we have 2 fish and 5 loaves. We don't have enough. Jesus says, feed them. What are you to do then? Okay, Christ, it's up to you. Show us. That's exactly where Jesus wanted them to be. He says, have them sit down. Philip and Andrew can do that. They tell the people, sit down. All eyes now are on Jesus. They're in an expectant position. What's he going to do? Is he going to teach us? They don't know. Christ takes what they have brought him, their own meager resources, which they offer to him, And he lifts them to the sky and he raises his eyes and says, "Thank you, Father, for providing us with this delicious meal. Thank you for your provision." And then it says he breaks the bread and he distributes it to his disciples, who give it to the crowd. And they have more than they need. More than they need. That's what we're called to do. We take what God has given us. He's all given us gifts. He's given us resources. Are they enough to do God's will and his work? Absolutely not. But there's a faith element required from all of us. And what do? We take them and we offer them up to God and we say, "Thank you." We don't get down on our knees and cry out before God and say, "I can't do this, Lord. Please look at all this crowd. I've got to come up with something. Give me some ideas." No, we say, "Thank you, God." And that is faith. And then you stand up and you do what God has called you to do. You continue to keep going. That's the point that Brian was talking about when he prayed, "Help us to crash through our breaking points. Help us to see that when we crash through our breaking points, that you are there with your resources and they never run dry. I can love, understand, forgive, minister to, even when I don't have anything in myself to give. Because Christ is there." That's the life of faith. Are you living that life? Are you saying, "Boy, I just don't have the ability to just keep going. I feel like the weight of the world is on my shoulders and I'm stressed and I just need a vacation." My word to you from God's word is this: Christ is your vacation. He is your strength. He is the one who will gird you up and give you what you need to do what he's called you to do. Trust him. Respond in faith and believe, and you'll find it there. Well, it wasn't long after this that the people caught the message. You know, Jesus didn't even preach on this occasion. He simply distributed and met their needs. But the people came to the conclusion, this must be the prophet. And they wanted to make him king. They understood that only God could do such things. And he is at least a prophet, if not God himself. And so they want to make him king by force, but Jesus sends his disciples away and slips out away from the crowd because his time had not yet come. It would, but not yet. And as his disciples row back across the Sea of Galilee, Jesus finishes up business. And what we didn't read today was that Christ came to them in the middle of the lake while they were still rowing. And they see him coming and they're terrified because people don't transport across the surface of the water. But God does. And Jesus calms their fears, identifies himself, gets in the boat, and immediately the boat is at the shore. Whoa, another miracle for his disciples, the few. He's trying to teach them again. I am your strength. I am your resource. And when he gets there, he finds that the people are following him. And the next day they come and they find Jesus and they say, "Where have you been? How did you get across? We saw one boat leave. There's only one boat here, but it doesn't add up." And Jesus looks into their hearts and he questions their motives. He says, "Why are you following me? It's not because you saw the signs which were supposed to point to the fact that I am God's son. It's because your bellies are hungry. You are shallow people. You had some hot fish and warm bread, and now you want breakfast. You're back for another handout. Go deeper. The work of God is much deeper than just having your physical needs met. Christ knew that you needed to have your physical needs met before you could really hear of spiritual things. And that's why he cares about the whole person. But he says, I want you to go deeper because the work of God is what he has called you to. I want you to be those who do the work of God. And they say, what is the work of God? The work of God is this, that you believe on him whom he has sent. Wait a minute. Work is to believe. Yes, simply believe. If he had said, the work of God is for you to give away your money and do these religious exercises and fulfill these specific requirements and pass off these four badges at a certain levels and eventually you'll achieve eternal life, they would have said, hey, I'm on. Sign me up. I want that program. But what Jesus says is, the work of God is simply this. Believe on him whom God has sent. That he is the Savior. And then he turns to them and he says, I am the bread of life. He who believes in me will never die, but shall live forever. They wonder, who is this who says that he has been sent from God? Well, if you've been sent from God, then show us something to indicate that. Give us a sign. I thought that's what he'd been doing. No, show us something like Moses did. You know, Moses brought this manna out of heaven and it came down and the people gathered in the wilderness and they ate for 40 years. You know, we want something like that. Could you do that like Moses? Wait a minute. I want you to understand something. It wasn't Moses who gave you manna from heaven. It was our Father. In fact, it was my Father who gave you the manna from heaven. And my Father has now given you the true manna from heaven. I am the bread of life. He who believes in me shall never perish, but have eternal life. Don't you believe this? And then he gets pretty graphic. He says, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood shall have eternal life. And they say, you're kidding. We can't endorse cannibalism, Jesus. Yeah, we don't do that kind of stuff. Maybe the pagans do somewhere out there, but we don't do that. Well, what's Jesus trying to tell them? He's trying to tell them, unless you believe with all your heart that my body is the sacrifice for your sins, that my blood is the thing that washes you clean, unless you receive me into your heart and life as your Savior and make me your Lord, you will have no life within you. He's trying to help them catch the metaphorical significance, the spiritual significance of this truth. But what happens? Many of them kind of walk away. They can't listen to this and they can't follow someone who expects them to do something so graphically horrid. But the disciples don't leave. And Jesus turns to them and says, are you guys going to leave too? And they say, Lord, who else has the words of eternal life? Where can we go except to you? My question to you today is, have you received Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you quit trying to please God? And have you surrendered and believed that Jesus died for your sins? Have you received him by faith into your heart and life? If you have, you're his child. You have eternal life that Christ has offered through himself. He is God's bread from heaven. And that's what we're celebrating this morning. We're celebrating the fact that Christ Jesus gave his life for us. He offered up his body to be broken. He laid it down. No man took it from him. He laid it down on our behalf, and then he took it up again on the third day. He shed his precious blood for our sins, to wash them away once and for all, past sins, present sins, and future sins that you will commit have been washed clean at the cross. No matter what they are, of what magnitude you may have experienced, they're washed clean at the cross. Have you given up trying to please God in your own efforts? And are you resting in the finished work of His Son? It's such a relief to do that. And every Christian must be brought back to this place often, because we try to regain this entrance with God in other ways. But no other way is pleasing to God except for what His Son has already done. No other way glorifies and exalts Jesus than for you and I to sit back and relax in the work of Christ. Let's celebrate that together right now. If you're here this morning and you say, I want Christ Jesus to be my Savior, in the quietness of your heart, invite Him in. Confess that you believe in Him, to God alone, and then partake in this memorial as we remember what Christ has done for us. And if you're here as a believer, reflect again afresh on what Christ has done for you and give Him thanks. I want to have a few moments of corporate prayer. That means I want you to feel free to pray and just give thanks to God for what He has done this morning on your behalf and on my behalf. It might just be a sentence. It might be a word. It might be a phrase. Offer up a prayer if you feel so led. Let's pray. Before we partake of the bread and the cup, that we are to examine ourselves. And if there is something between us and God, some sin that we know that God brings to mind and convicts us of, we're to confess it to Him in the quietness of our hearts. We're to bring that before Him, acknowledge it, and thank Him for the forgiveness that has been rendered at the cross, given to you freely, and to claim that forgiveness. And so I want to extend to you an opportunity in the quietness of your own heart to ask God to forgive of any unknown sin or any known sin that He reveals to you, and to confess that to Him. That You have done for us, that You came down out of heaven, sent from the Father, the Son of His love, the gift of God for our salvation. We thank You that You are the bread of life, and that You give life to us, a life that is eternal, that is satisfying, that is complete. We thank You, Father, for giving us Jesus and for His willingness to suffer and die in our place, to take our sins in His own body and to be broken. As we pass this bread one to another, we ask that You would remind us again of the depth of Your love, the willingness of Your heart to sacrifice Your Son, and that our hearts would just overflow in gratitude for the relationship we now enjoy because of what You have been willing to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Strength. Jesus is our strength. The living, resurrected Jesus is the one who goes before us. As we leave these doors, we go out into the mission field. The world is what God has called us to serve. Let's go out and be lights. And let's not complain about not having enough power, because we know from VBS that we have power, don't we? God is our power. Aha! Let's try it again. Jesus is our power. Aha! All right. Let's rise for the benediction. Now the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord, equip you in every good work to do His will, working in us that which is pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Go in peace.